The United States versus Ellis and Norma Crum.
May it please the court, I'm Kurt St. Angelo from Indian.
Pardon me? Oh, I'm sorry.
You need an opponent.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
You need an opponent.
Are they on the phone? All right. You can proceed then.
Thank you. If I may begin again, I'm Kurt St. Angelo, counsel for appellants Ellis and Norma Crum. This summons enforcement case is really a case about the United States acting outside of the law. Here we have a revenue officer from the Department of the Treasury that is trying to assert authority that Congress exclusively gave to officers and employees of a different department, the Treasury Department. This case comes to you as
we have two different secretaries for each department?
No, sir, we do not. We have one secretary and two departments. Both departments answer to the secretary, and they have since 1950, the Reorganization Act 26 of 1950. This case comes to you as a challenge to the court's jurisdiction, the district court's jurisdiction, and in the alternative, as a challenge to the United States cause of action. Paragraph 2 and 7 of the petitions in this case contain wholly immaterial allegations for purposes of jurisdiction and immaterial and insubstantial or unsubstantial allegations for purposes of the cause of action. From the face of the prima facie and the conclusive statutes, which are Internal Revenue Code Section 7602 and 7701A11 and 12, Congress has only authorized officers and employees of the Treasury Department who are duly authorized by the Secretary of the Treasury to summons. 7602 says the Secretary has this authority. 7701A11 says the Secretary means the Secretary of the Treasury or his delegate, and 7701A12A says that in this jurisdiction, a delegate is an officer or employee of the Treasury Department. Therefore, on the face of the statute, that is what is required. For the sake of time, I would like to address really the main issue today, which is there a difference between the Department of the Treasury and the Treasury Department? First, let's talk about their relationship. There is no direct relationship or connection between these two departments. They are indirect, their relationship. They answer both to the Secretary of the Treasury. The Secretary, under 7701A12A, can delegate his authority in this jurisdiction to people who work for the Treasury Department. In another jurisdiction, which is Guam and American Samoa, he can delegate his authority to non-Treasury Department officers, in this case, officers of the Department of the Treasury. Therefore, under the law, there is no authority for the Secretary to delegate a revenue officer from the Department of the Treasury. This is historically the case. Always. If you read almost any statute or code, you will see that the summons authority has always been in the Treasury Department. It has not always been with the Secretary, but it has always been with the Treasury Department. In 1921...
Who is the head of the Treasury Department?
The Secretary of the Treasury. He is also the head of the department.
Well, you said there are two different departments.
Yes.
Who is the head of the sub-department of the Treasury Department that you're referring to?
The United States refers to a code section, it's not off the top of my head, that claims that the Secretary of the Treasury is in charge of the Department of the Treasury. That is prima facie law.
And there aren't two departments then, is that what you're
No, there are absolutely two departments.
And who's head of it?
They both answer to the Secretary of the Treasury.
I didn't ask you that. Who's head of the Treasury Department that you say exists?
I don't know his or her name, but it would be the same person who heads the Treasury Department. You may have difficulty with that, but I will explain how that works. Historically, only the Treasury Department could issue summonses, and that is the case today, if you just read the law. As well, this court, every circuit court, and the Supreme Court have only enforced summonses by Treasury Department employees. Never, never an employee of the Department of
Treasury. Do you believe there's a difference between the Justice Department and the Department of Justice?
Sir, I did not come to discuss that. I don't really know.
I don't care whether you came to discuss it. I asked you a question.
Well, prima facie, if there is a difference in the statute, I would suggest that that is the case.
Is there a difference in the statute?
Your Honor, I did not come to brief you on that, because I do not know. I have not looked at the code to see whether the Department of the Treasury, the Justice Department and the Department of Justice is the same. That is not our issue today. Prima facie, if they are in the code, and depending on whether or not the title is either prima facie or legal evidence of the law, that would answer your question.
Does it make sense to you that a rational interpretation would be that they're both the same?
No, it would not be rational. You could look at on its face, it is not rational. It's prima facie different. Also, I think rationality could be thwarted by a reading of the statutory history.
There is at least one unpublished decision of this court which affirms that enforcement for the, that is an IRS revenue agent.
I read that case, Your Honor, and I don't believe you can find either, a revenue agent, yes.
What case is it that you're referring to?
He was referring to it, Your Honor.
Cermak against the United States.
And I read the cases that the United States offered, and there was no, there's no contradiction with what I'm saying. All of their cases that they refer to, either was about enforcing summonses from revenue agents or special agents. If you look at sections 4000 from the 1939 code, you will see revenue agents, special agents, and inspectors all in the Treasury Department. So yes, revenue agents, special agents, and inspectors all are delegatable from the Secretary of the Treasury. But they are in the Treasury Department.
Within the IRS, this particular revenue agent, this case.
Well, reading the case law, you cannot really determine whether the revenue agents are part of the IRS. This court has...
What are they a part of?
Well, revenue agents, by statute, sir, in 1862, they were placed in the Treasury Department.
We're talking about 2000.
Well, their job descriptions nor their authority and functions are not changed.
They aren't part of the IRS.
Well, again, this is not part of this case, but there are no cases that I've read that conclusively show that revenue agents are in the IRS. On page 27 of my reply, my reply brief describes how this court has seen a difference between CID officials, which would be special agents and revenue agents, how they are different. And this court characterizes the revenue agent as an IRS officer. But I have never read that in a statute. In fact, the statute conflicts with that. The statute from 1862 places revenue agents and inspectors, which are the same offices described in the 1939 code in section 4000, in the Treasury Department. I would suggest by the statute that they are not in the Internal Revenue Service, but they are enforcement officers of the Treasury Department.
Do you realize that you're into your rebuttal time?
I did not.
Do you wish to continue to use it?
I will. I would like to save my time for rebuttal.
All right.
Thank you.
Will the government attorney please present his argument?
Yes, this is the court. You just have from the Department of Justice representing the United States.
Can you talk a little louder, please, if you can?
Yes.
Okay. There are literally thousands of courts in the district that enforce IRS summonses. And in these cases, the summons were issued by revenue officers, revenue agents, or special agents, and the court recognizes that always employed or IRS employed. Counsel for the Commons incorrectly states that no appellate court has enforced summons issued by revenue officers, besides the example in our brief on page 11, the Saunders decision from the Ninth Circuit. In that case, the court enforced the summons issued by revenue officers. And this court has also enforced summons issued by revenue officers, so not in the case of Steiner or Green. There was an hour stamp case, AWERKANP, decided 497F7A32. But the main argument put forward by the firms in this case that the Department of the Treasury and the Treasury Department are two separate entities, that argument this third extended this court is recognizing and questioning the counsel. As a matter of statute, Congress has listed the extension of the department. This is in 5 U.S.C. 101, present in our brief. And only one of those departments has the word Treasury in it. As a matter of common sense and common knowledge, these phrases are used interchangeably. And evidence of this common knowledge is the fact that Congress and the courts, including this court, set up on these use phrases interchangeably. Unless the court is any further questions, we rest on the argument set out in our brief.
Right, counsel. Thank you. Do you have any to ask the government? Judge Fairchild? Mike, do you?
No, not
at all. All right. Please proceed.
Thank you. The United States offers nothing to rebut the prima facie presumption that the United States, that the Department of Treasury and the Treasury Department are different. Nothing. It reaches these
conclusions. Can we just say as a matter of common sense that these are just two different names for the same entity?
No, I don't think you can, sir. Congress specifically uses proper names to distinguish departments from one another. They enacted in 1968 a bill which more or less codified the government printing office style and form manual. And
now, so the late Chief Justice Burger once wrote in a dissent, there is nothing wrong with the application of common sense.
Okay. Well, again, and this relates to this justice's statement, the common sense when you see Bob and John, or that Bob and John are different, that is the common sense. It's also the rule of law.
The Treasury Department is different from the Department of Treasury.
Yes, just on its face, and again, as I say in the brief, historically. The difference between the departments are this, that the Treasury Department was founded in 17...
We have one department then that's unfilled by any secretary?
Unfilled. No, again, sir, the...
Well, if we have the same person occupying both Department of the Treasury and Treasury Department, does it make sense to you that it doesn't make any difference?
No, it does not. A secretary could be in charge of two departments because those departments...
No. Secretary is only in charge of whatever cabinet position he holds, and that's the Secretary of the Treasury.
But under the reorganization plan of number 26 of 1950, all of the authority that was in the Treasury Department was given to the Secretary of the Treasury. He already had the Treasury... I meant the Department of the Treasury... He already had the authority.
That's confusing, isn't it?
It is confusing. I apologize for that. But the secretary had...
Finish your answer, then.
The secretary, prior to 1950, had authority over all the employees in the Treasury Department. After 1950, and it's in my brief, those functions were transferred to be under him. They didn't change the nomenclature of the departments. They maintained the different titles, they maintain their functions, they maintain their officers.
Right. Thank you, counsel.